Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Granville, Australia, June 10th, 1895. Christ came to seek the lost pearl, which was buried beneath the darkness of ignorance and perverse iniquity of the earth. He was moved with pity when he saw the condition of his purchased heritage. He saw that children and youth were becoming wise to do evil, continually acquiring greater tact and shrewdness in the service of the world through their contact with men full of selfishness, ambition, and pride. He saw that children grow up to youth, and youth to manhood, and womanhood. They are becoming full of self-sufficiency, maturing all too rapidly their knowledge of evil practices through constant association with the dishonest, with thieves, with the depraved, dissolute, disobedient elements of society. They learn to be cunning in avoiding detection, to become experts in every phase of deception and fraud. They are educated in crime by reading the stories which fill the popular publications of the day. Having no regard for the right because it is right, as they read stories of theft, murder, and every species of crime, they are led to devise plans by which they could improve upon the criminal's methods and escape detection. Thus, these foul publications assist in perfecting the education of the youth in the way that leads to perdition. The youth of our cities breathe in the tainted, polluted atmosphere of crime. The evil influence is then communicated to the country, and the whole community becomes contaminated. The rulers are not men of moral worth, but men are well supplied with this world's goods, and they have neither the desire nor the inclination to check the growth of this root of bitterness, which is increasing year by year, and is fostered and fed by just such publications as are now being sold everywhere, and by such stories and descriptions of criminal practices as are found in the papers of the day. So-called revelations of the future are treated as realities. Revolutions are predicted. Many minds catch the evil spirit lurking in these representations of future horrors. They feed upon those things until they become imbued with the same spirit, gradually working themselves into a state of mind which will lead them to do worse, were it possible, than is predicted by the writers. Christ, the world's Redeemer, saw this conflict approaching and sends us the warning to watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Mark 14, verse 38. For as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day Noe entered into the ark, and the flood came, and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17, verse 26 to 30. It is not against the proper participation in that we are warned, but against indulgences, allowing them to shut our minds up against the more important things of eternal life. The indulgence of a perverted appetite by overeating and drinking perverts the whole being. Jude describes the condition of our world as we approach the close of Earth's history. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this writer has lifted the danger signal that we might understand the perils of our time. As we see these things and consider that Christ gave up everything that he might seek and save that which was lost, that he might recover the lost pearl, what are we as individual followers of Christ ready to do? What sacrifices are we ready to make that we may find the lost pearl and place it in the hands of our Savior? As you look upon the cities, so full of iniquity, Satan will tell you that it is impossible to do them any good. The cities are sadly neglected. You will never know the value of the pearl until you seek earnestly to find it. There might be 100 workers where there is but one, seeking diligently, prayerfully, with an intense interest, to find the lost pearls which are buried in the rubbish of these cities. How can we find language to express our deepest interest and desire that every soul should awake and go to work in the Master's vineyard? Occupy, says Christ, till I come. Luke 19, verse 13. It may be but a few years until your life history close, but you must occupy till then. When the fiat goes forth, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Then there will be no more occasion to labor for souls. Revelation 22, verse 11. Every case will be decided.
Are not you, who are carrying no burden for lost souls, not ashamed? Are you not afraid some trust has been committed to you for which you will be held accountable? Are you sensible of the responsibility imposed by the talents entrusted to you? Have you misused your time, your strength, your influence? The despised privilege, the wasted hours, the neglected duties are all registered in the books of heaven, and every individual must meet this record in the judgment just as it stands. Now, what are we going to do? Will you heed the admonition, "Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die"? Revelation 3, verse 2. You may fold your hands, saying, "I am only a lay member of the church. It is a hopeless task for me to undertake." But have you yoked up with Christ? Are you laboring in this way? Oh, let it no longer be a source of grief to the heavenly intelligences and to Him who has paid such an infinite price for souls that you refuse to be channels of light, that you refuse to cooperate with the heavenly agencies for the salvation of souls. But let us awake out of sleep and put all our God-given abilities into the work, that it may be written in the books that we are redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Romans 13, verse 11, Ephesians 5, verse 16. If we keep our talents in inaction, we lose all ability to make use of them. The mind is a gift of God, designed to be improved and developed that we may be able to enlighten others, but it may be perverted and misused in doing Satan's work. The second chapter of 2 Peter presents the true condition of the world at this time, and the third chapter is full of warnings and counsel for the followers of Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 1 to 11, also contains the very instruction that we need. Shall we heed these admonitions of the Lord? The Lord Jesus has a special work for His believing, commandment-keeping people to do. He desires that we should be faithful laborers together with God in the salvation of sinners. The servants of Jesus Christ, who know the truth and the power of the grace of God, have an extensive and important mission to fulfill, and every soul is held responsible for the proper exercise of the talents entrusted to him. We are justified by faith, but judged by the character of our works. In the parable, before the nobleman went away, he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Matthew 25, verse 14-15. There is not one human being to whom is not committed some talent. Not one but has a work to do for the Lord. Not one is to be excused. Not one is to remain in idleness, but every man is required to do his best, the talents entrusted to him in consecrated service for the Master. Each member of the family of God is a responsible agent, and all should donate gifts to carry forward his work. from the humblest to the most exalted in privilege and position, both in the church and in the world, a strict account of the entrusted talents will be required, with the improvement which they are sure to make if put to use in the Lord's service. It is practice that enables us to use our abilities to the best advantage. Investments are to be made in such a way as to accomplish the greatest good for the cause and to increase the revenue of the Lord's treasury. This need not apply solely to money investments, but to the improvement of our capabilities and opportunities as well. The Lord has given to every man his work and expects returns proportionate to the ability of each. All are expected to perform their duty intelligently, so that the amount entrusted to them shall be doubled by the use they make of it. The fidelity of every human agent is to be tested and tried, and the destiny of the worker is determined by the faithful improvement, or by the lack of improvement, of his talents, according to the amount returned. Christ has paid the penalty, the wages of sin. He has shed his own precious blood to redeem the world from eternal ruin. If we bear this in mind, we shall understand that there is no excuse for our remaining in ignorance.
The invitation of Christ is, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Engage with me to save all who will believe on him whom the Father hath sent." Shall we bear the yoke with Christ? Shall we be co-laborers with him? Listen to what he says. "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Those who barricade the soul refuse the invitation to the gospel feast. Those who hoard up their talents to rust, unemployed, unimproved, must not think that such action in any way relieves them from responsibility. For God holds us responsible for the good we might do if we took up the yoke with Christ, lifting his burdens, learning more of his meekness and lowliness of heart, day by day. The interest continues to accumulate on buried talents, and instead of decreasing our responsibility, the burying of our talent only increases and intensifies it. Let the human agent consider the solemn fact that the day of reckoning is just before us, and that we are daily deciding what our eternal destiny shall be. The Master examines every individual case, dealing personally with the talents entrusted by him. Oh, solemn day of reckoning! That day which will bring paleness to many faces, that day in which the words shall be spoken to many. "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." Daniel 5, verse 27. It will be an awful thing to be found wanting when the book of accounts is opened in that great day. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, the graves of those who persisted in transgression and sin until death overtook them, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. Upon the decisions reached in that day depends the future, eternal interest of every soul. We shall have unspeakable joy, or unutterable woe and misery, the horrors of despair.
Oh, how Jesus will love to recompense every true worker. Every faithfully performed duty will receive his blessing. It is then that he pronounces the benediction. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, verse 21. What is the joy of our Lord? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, verse 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, 2. Truth, precious truth, is not to be hidden in our hearts. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Matthew 5, verse 14. When we consider that Christ died for the ungodly while they were sinners, we are led to realize how willing and even anxious he is to bless us, that we may be a blessing to others. This is the word which he sends unto us. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 7.